All right, got everybody? Okay, look at the good group. Y'all ready to pray? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness, your love, and your grace today. Thank you for the day you've made for us. We celebrate it. Thank you for being our conqueror and our King, the one we can trust to do great things. So, Lord, we just put our trust in your hands. We thank you for our family. Thank you for our faith family in Christ, and we can't help but praise you for it. Be with Miss Stephanie and those that help her and all these little ones. We thank you for pouring seed into them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Come on. Come on.
Let's go. Ooh.
I'm going to go back there with them. Amen.
Go play with all the kids.
He's checking everything out. All right. Here you go.
Come on. Okay.
Love you. All right, all right. Well, praise Jesus. We are having a time with our internet. Y'all been having trouble with the internet? I don't know. We've been having trouble with it. For whatever reason, it has not wanted to. It has not wanted to work for us this week. I think it's just overloaded. Honestly. Is the problem. It's just not going to do today. So, we will bypass that and go on from there. Amen. Well, look, take your copy of the Word of God you brought with you and turn to the book of Proverbs. We're walking through Proverbs right now. If you don't have a copy of the Word with you, if you look in the pew around you, all you got to do is grab one. You might even have a Bible on your phone that you can keep up with us. We talked about on several occasions doing something with a little more media to it, just for future things and that kind of stuff, like a screen or something back there projecting on that back wall. That might be something one day we can have some scripture references. We don't ever want you not to bring your word if you got one, amen? Because we're going to use the Bible and let you go through your own Bible and mark it up. Because one day if I got to preach a funeral, I'm going to use your Bible, amen?
Amen.
And if I have to use it, I want to be able to find some good stuff you've been marking up in there.
Yeah.
Old Rusty told me he'd just been marking his up so I have something to say, amen? Glory be. He did. Brother Shannon brought his to me one day and said, "Preacher, look, take my Bible, look in it, and go ahead and tell me everything you're going to say. I won't be there when you tell them." Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen and amen. Amen. Nothing like having a friend in Jesus, huh?
Amen.
Nothing like having a friend. We're up to chapter 15. We may kind of bounce around a little bit in it today. There's so much in here. It is so good and rich. These are God's rules of thumb, Jacob. That's what they are. They're rules of thumb. They help guide us. They will help govern how we live, give us a way in how we live. We keep seeing that brought up, the way or the law of your father, the law of your mother. That's just speaking of a way of living, that there's a consistent way of living, of how we live. Now, that consistent way of living needs to line itself back up with the Lord, because if it don't, that way is going to be an abomination to him.
Amen.
And Proverbs tells us that a way. And you know, abominations are things that stink. There's a stench to it. How many of y'all been smelling that stench out here? Anybody get a good whiff of it? It's been rank over the last couple of days. I think there's potentially a dead cow over here. That or a dead deer. There's something that's died. The buzzards, by about 100 of them, were making loops yesterday and flying around, and they've been roosting out over here. So something has perished, and in its rottenness, it has diffused an extreme aroma. And when you got little ones around and they love to be outside, you just sometimes, when the wind blows, you just got to hold your breath and keep going, huh? But you know, some things in life just stink. And we don't want to stink before the Lord. Are you with me? That's important for us, because Proverbs told us that on a couple occasions. Just in chapter 15, it's not where we're going to kind of land, but it's just a good idea to consider, because it all of it matters. It really, really does. But in chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9, it tells us some things that are an abomination to the Lord and things that are delight and pleasant and He loves. And the Proverbs are full of this. They're full of these condensed, concentrated principles that you build messages around. And when you build messages around them, you could easily mess them up, because they're so perfect in their condensed form. All you got to do is just read it, and it's going to speak volumes to you. And we can capitalize on these things for days. But verse number 8 says this, of Proverbs 15, the sacrifice of the wicked. Now, who and what is classified as being wicked? What have we taught? What have we said? What does the Bible teach us about being wicked? What is that, Karen? Wrong. That's what the wicked are. They're simply wrong. Why are they wrong? They're not right with God. They can be right with their family. They can be right with our society. They can be right with their neighbors. They can be right with their government. They can be right with this world in every facet of it. I mean, you can be an upstanding, stand-out citizen who never causes anybody any kind of harm or trouble in any kind of way, and still not be right with God.
Come on.
And not be right with God. We live in a civilized society, and it doesn't take a whole lot to live civil in this society. Are you with me? Didn't take a whole lot. You just stay with the course or the way that governs our society, and you won't be a problem for anybody. You won't cause trouble for people. Matter of fact, you can be of a great benefit to our society and our community, but still not be right with God. And when you're not right with God, the Bible describes that as being wrong, or we can term it scripturally, wicked. And I think that's why the Bible refers to it as being wicked, because it's not right, and anything that's not right needs to be viewed as wicked, so that it grips your thinking when you read it, when you see it. We have a tendency to think of wicked things like when people do wicked stuff that we read about on the news, like when they go into grocery stores and they shoot and kill 10 people, or over in Africa, Brother Shannon was telling me that there was a group of people, radicals, went in and killed a bunch of believers over there, Christian believers, this past week. I think killed 29 of them, something. I didn't see that, hear that, so I am not sure. I'm just passing that on as he passed it on to me. But that we see that happening every day. We see things. We're hearing about stuff. You know, the big news over the last couple of weeks was this guy in Lauderdale County, Alabama, who was a criminal and took off, and the correction officer that went with him, and she wound up shooting herself and dying, and he is now back in custody and chains again. And we read about that. We hear about that. Every day our news is filled with a lot of troublesome stuff. That is all, no doubt, wicked moves, wicked intentions, but you don't have to do all that to be wicked, is what I'm saying. You're just not right with God. So the sacrifice, and a sacrifice is something that somebody willingly gives. A sacrifice of the wicked is a stench. It smells like rotten flesh. It's an abomination, as the Bible describes it, to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his what? How many of y'all like the smell of honeysuckle?
Amen.
Or jasmine? Magnolias. You know, when certain aromas like honeysuckles right now, boy, you get out by this old big cedar tree out there, and some of y'all got some honeysuckle growing pretty good right now. Janet's got a post over there in her driveway off to the side. Sitting on top of that post just looks like a blossom of honeysuckle sitting on there. You walk up and walk past that, the wind blow right, it's a delight as it blows across your nose, and you get to take that in. And that honeysuckle, if you could remember aromas and things like that, it'd take you back to certain times. That's the neat thing about smells. They'll do that. And out here, you can walk out there today and you can go smell those honeysuckles, and you get on the other side of that cedar tree and the wind blows right, and that old stinking rotten cow over there is going to knock you down. Just like that. And I can remember as a kid riding down our road, Lee Road, going back home, and it seemed back then that it was like 100 miles to go from town to home, but it wasn't but only 3 or 4 miles. But it seemed like a long way back in the day. The road was windy, and I've told you about hearing my dad come home and them big Fords he would drive with them big tires. They'd be humming, Lucas. And I could tell he's on them curves getting closer. So I booked my way back home. But when we was riding down that road in the Jeep, my dad had a yellow Jeep, canary yellow Jeep. And he sold it just before I got my license. And I know why he sold it, because he didn't want me to be driving it. So he got rid of it, Brother Shannon, before I could actually take off in it. But going down the road, they had these jasmines and magnolias and those honeysuckles. And every time I smell that, man, it reminds me of going home. It reminds me of as a kid riding up and down that road. Just that one general area, that one by Playmakers, there's a theater out in the country where we lived. It seemed like further back in the day, and it really is. Ain't nothing but rural houses and all in there. But there was a theater called Playmakers Theater. And when you was in that little curve there, that's where that pleasant aroma would just overwhelm your vehicle. It just smelled so good at certain times of the year going through there. But when I was a young boy, there was a dog that died under our house. Our house wasn't built on a slab, so it was a raised house. And my dad was a pretty big old fella. I mean, he was a pretty big old dude, and he wasn't getting under that house, so I was the oldest. So guess who had to go under there and pull out that dog that was sitting under my dad's bed in his room, where, you know, you didn't know it was dead, didn't know it went under there and died. It was a neighbor's dog. Didn't know that until it done got to stinking. And when they go to stinking, they already pretty stunk. Are you with me? And I guess there wasn't no volunteering. It was Nikki, get under there and get that dog out. And I said, come on, Dad, I want to get under there and get that dog out. Get under there and get that dog out, boy. So I had to crawl under that house, get a hold of that dog, and crawl with him back out on my belly. And it was the midst of summer. It was hot, and that thing was bad, bad, rusty, bad, bad, bad. And then I had to be the one, of course, to take the dog off and put it in the wheelbarrow. My dad gives me all these tips. Nick, take him, put your little cologne on your headband. I had a handkerchief type thing. None of that. It couldn't stop it, I tell you. But I did figure out, as long as I was walking with that wheelbarrow, I wouldn't smell it. But if I paused at any time with that dog in that wheelbarrow, it'll knock you down. And fortunately, I always had a pretty strong stomach, so it didn't make me sick on my stomach in any kind of way. My dad, he'd be spitting. He said if he couldn't spit, he was going to throw up. So he's over there spitting. And I say all that to say this. It was an abomination to have to do it. It stunk. Scripture says that when people are not right with God, the things they bring to him are they stink to the Lord. They really do. Amen. Because the priority of a man is to be right with God. Amen? Amen. Now, notice what he says. But the prayer of the upright, and that's somebody who's walking by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's somebody who's righteous because of grace and because of trusting God with what he's given them. Now they're walking uprightly with him. That is somebody upright. Their prayer is his what? Delight. Man, it smells like honeysuckles. It's good. It smells good. It's a pleasant thing to him. But notice this, verse 9. The way of the wicked, or the way of the wrong, is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows what? Righteousness. So the point I'm making is, every one of us have a way of living. All of us do. A way of living, and whatever governs that way of living will determine the path and the priorities and the purpose of that way of living that we live out. That's why we've been reading, like for an example, in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, that was the first section that we read about. The first section in Proverbs. You notice when you got to Proverbs 10, it said that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Well, in the first part, we thought those were the Proverbs of Solomon. And they were. But the section, how they were written different. And it was teaching us the difference from a strange way and the Lord's way.
Amen.
The strange way and the way of wisdom. And how to recognize wisdom and how to recognize the strange woman, the foreign way. We don't want to be all familiar with the foreign way. We really, really want to invest our life in the way of wisdom or the way of Christ or the way of the Lord. And that's why in those first 9 chapters, we kept seeing this, the law of your father and the law of your mother. We talked about that last Sunday. The law of your father and the law of your mother. Remember, a law is a way. So if my way doesn't line up with the Lord's way, my way is what? It stinks. It's an abomination. It smells like rotten flesh. But if my way is lined up with the Lord's way, I could then say to those that are following me, come, don't forsake that way of living, because if you forsake that way, you're forsaking the Lord's way.
Amen.
You're forsaking God's way. And when you forsake God's way, when you get off that course, you go your way, that way is an abomination unto the Lord. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way except what? Through Him, with Him, and for Him. That's the only way to live. Amen. I need help in that, because if I'm not living that way, Matthew, I wind up becoming like that old rotten cow over there. My life, it may not stink to everybody, but it stinks to the one that it shouldn't be stinking to. And I want to diffuse the aroma of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to smell like Jesus. Just like an appetite. Just like an appetite. I don't believe there's a single person in here that's got any sense in their head would go over there and try to pick a little flesh off of that dead cow or whatever it is, try to get them a ribeye off of it. Just the thought of it, right? Does something inside of your gizzards. You know what I mean? They start stirring in there. They start stirring. But you see, a buzzard and all those little creepy crawlers that are going to help fertilize that ground out there, them buzzards, that is something they have an appetite for. I mean, they flying. How many of y'all noticing buzzards out here? We got plenty of them. You see them out there getting in the wind currents and making their loops. What are they looking for? They looking for something what? They looking for something dead. They looking for something rotten. And they picking up those wind currents, and it's amazing how 8 miles over in Porterville, those currents are shift and be able to pick up that, and those buzzards will start making those big loops because they're trying to pick up those currents and narrow it down, and they're getting closer and getting closer. And we watched them the other day. I mean, they just swarmed. As many as you can see, it looks like a big old covey of blackbirds out there swarming, because they knew whatever smelling over there was big enough for all of them, so they was all coming. And they were all coming this way, and buddy, they had a table set up for them. A table you and me would push away from.
Come on.
But a table they're going to come up to and want to feast on.
Amen.
You see, this past week you read in Proverbs 10:3 where the scripture says that the Lord will not allow the righteous soul, the upright man, to famish.
Come on.
God's going to put a feast before them, and they're going to feed on that feast that He gives. But the desire of the wicked will push away from that feast that the Lord puts before His people. Why? Because they like feasting on. They like feasting. They have an appetite for something else.
Amen.
Their appetite is not the appetite that we are wanting to feed on today. Are you with me?
No.
There's a difference. That's how you can reveal what table are people sitting in front of. What are they feeding on? Then what's flowing out of their mouth. Just listen to what flows out of their mouth. Didn't Proverbs say, have been saying a lot of that? That whatever flows, what pours forth out of your mouth, they tell you what's in your heart. And Proverbs 15 is full of this idea about a wholesome tongue and a tree of life and how the righteous will feed on and seek after understanding, but a fool will feed on folly. A fool to feed on foolishness. That's where their appetite is drawn toward. So people that we live around, people that we work with, people that we hang with, man, just listen to what comes out of their mouth. Because what comes out of their mouth is going to pour from their heart.
Amen.
And a person that's right with God knows how to use that knowledge rightly. They study how to speak. And all this is very important. Let's just look at a couple of them here in Proverbs 15. Just think about it. On feasting on rotten stuff and feasting on that which is redemptive, that reveals the glory of God. For an example, look in verse number 2. 15:2. The tongue of the wise, and we know a wise person that is rightly related to the Lord, is somebody that fears God, because we've already learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right?
Amen.
So the tongue of the wise uses knowledge. How do they use knowledge? They use it rightly. You see, somebody who is wise in the Lord is somebody who's right with the Lord. And when you're right with the Lord, you're going to use the knowledge you have and apply it rightly for the glory of the Lord. But the mouth of fools pours forth what? It just comes out like a fountain. It just flows out of them like a fountain. You can't pick up God in it. Why? Because look in 26, 15, 26. Why do you don't pick up God in their what pours forth out of their mouth? Well, verse 26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are what? So not just their sacrifice, not just the way they live, but even their thinking, how they think about life, how they perceive life, their perceptions on life is an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Now you can't be pure without Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You just can't be pure without him. Look in verse 28. Verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders or meditates or responds. They study how to what? Answer a thing. They study how to answer. Janet, this is so important for us to recognize, because not only how people feed on things in life, but what flows out of their life is going to tell me whether this person is right with God or they're wrong. Whether this person can be right and still be acting like a fool. Y'all have all done it before. Everybody said?
Amen.
Josh, you ever act like a fool?
Oh, yeah.
Lucas. Boo. You ever act like a fool? Janet. A lot of times when we read something like that, we think about other people who's been acting like a fool. But we got to remember, we the ones that this is really directed toward as we read this, that there are times, and this is a thing that Proverbs is helping us with, to help me recognize if I'm operating in God's wisdom or if I'm operating like a fool.
Come on.
And we all are prone to it. If you let circumstances manipulate you, you know what you're going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to respond to it like a fool.
Come on.
If you let people have dominion over you or oppress you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to respond to the situation like a fool. You're going to lash out. You're going to say things you'll regret saying. Because why? You're not walking by faith. You're what? Walking according to the flesh, and the flesh can't produce anything. You know what the flesh smells like to the Lord? What does our flesh smell like to the Lord? That cow over there.
Yeah.
It stinks. It stinks. It does. And if I let my flesh dictate how I speak and how I think and how I approach things in life and perceive things, you know what's going to happen? That's going to manifest out of me. Now, for the believer, this is important. For the believer, characteristically, they don't live that kind of way.
Yeah.
We're all growing. Ain't nobody in here arrived. Sandy, you arrived yet? Has Davin arrived yet? Are you further along than Davin yet? No, I'm not going to get you to answer that. I'm just playing. You want to answer it? Tammy said, I'll step in. Brother Shannon, you're the oldest one in here, Archer. Or is Martin older? Martin turned 75 soon, huh? You already 75. Yeah. That's right. That's right. You're the oldest one in here today.
Today. When Billy's here.
He's just a little bit older, huh? By a few months.
He's 3 months older now.
3 months older. 3 months older.
Pat's a lot better than I am.
Oh, look, I wasn't even going to ask that, but boy, he's smart, ain't he?
I wasn't born yesterday.
Yeah, no. Are you still growing, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brother Shannon, we were talking about it just a little bit ago. Brother Shannon said every once in a while he gets frustrated.
Yeah.
How many of y'all get frustrated? How many of y'all get frustrated with the events that are going on around the world? How many of you get frustrated with people that you got to do life with?
Come on.
That would not just include, I'm not narrowing it down just within the home, because people are going to frustrate you, your spouse. Somebody you love is going to frustrate you at times. It's just inevitable on both sides. It just will. But you see, what you want to look at then is how frequent is that frustration manifesting itself in my journey. That's going to tell me something about me, where I'm at, on how often it keeps surfacing and coming up. It speaks. It speaks to us. You just remember that. If there's a frequency in the frustration, there's a frequency in somewhere else in my journey that's lacking. You just want to remember that. And we'll try to point that out in a moment. But we're all growing. We're all growing. And as we grow, we don't excuse. Well, let me before I even say that, how many of you get frustrated with yourself?
Amen.
We'll probably get frustrated, if we want to be honest. We'll probably get frustrated with ourselves more than anything.
Come on.
But remember, looking inward to yourself is no solution to get out of where you are.
Amen.
It's just not going to get you there. The more you look at yourself, the more frustrated you'll become with yourself, unless you're just blind to it and you become prideful and arrogant in the sense of you just don't have the eyes to see of that we create our own trouble. We usually create our own problems. Are you with me? Now, in creating our own problems, what we have to be careful of, and this gets me at times, I get frustrated with people that create problems and then complain about the problems they create.
I hear you.
You ever been around anybody? You ever done that yourself? Create the trouble, but complain about the trouble that you created, and it take you a little while to realize that it wasn't them that created it, you created it. You know, create no frustrations in your life. And the frequency of it will tell me where I'm at in my walk. I'm letting things, I'm letting people, I'm letting circumstances, I'm letting things kind of get to me and bother me, because I'm actually walking in somewhat of a drought. I'm in a drought. And droughts lead to famines. And droughts and famines have a way of creating this forgetfulness in a person's life of the good that you had when you was walking in the abundance. Just, you got to keep that in mind. When a drought comes, and droughts lead to famines, when they come, the further you get into them, the more you forget of how good life was before you entered the drought or you entered the famine. Because the famine gets your attention. You focused on it and you forgot how abundant everything was just 6 months ago.
Amen.
And then people have to come into your life in your frustrations and remind you again and again and again how gracious and how good God's been to you in your journey, because you focusing in on the issues, the problems, and you're taking your eyes off. And when you take your eyes off, you can't help but get frustrated with yourself, frustrated with people, frustrated with situations and circumstances. So that is a good rule of thumb in your journey of the frequencies of your frustration is going to reveal of how far down the road you're walking in some sort of a drought and not being well watered by God. Are you with me? We've illustrated it before, like with flowers. Last week, we had some flowers in here. And we said when you walk into a room, flowers are normally put into a space to kind of liven up, to brighten up the space. But when sour people walk into a room, flowers don't wilt, do they? No. Not when they what? Well watered. The same thing with you and I. When we are around sour people and sour circumstances and sour situations, we don't wither and wilt away when we are being properly watered by the Lord. That's where, like Proverbs 11:25 says, he who waters shall be what?
Watered
himself. And as the scriptures teach us consistently, that he who is planted by water, planted by a water brook, who has a wellspring of water within them, also has a good understanding, also is fertile, and always producing fruit, and their leaves never wither.
Amen.
And even in the midst of a drought, even in the midst of a drought, God can make streams in a desert.
Come on.
And water in the midst of a drought.
Amen.
So if you are finding yourself frustrated with yourself, with your situation, with your circumstances, with people in your life, don't keep looking at it, yourself, or them. Look back up. Look up. Look up. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Amen. And Brother Shannon was sharing a solution that he uses is that when he finds he's getting frustrated with things, he said, hey, I just pull out Psalm 119 and start reading it. And when I read through 119, he says, all of a sudden, things just start changing. That which had me frustrated ain't even in view no more. And if it is in view, I'll look at it differently. Why? You're taking a different angle of it. You're taking a different angle of it. Look, if you would, in 119. Let me show you just a couple things what I mean by this. 119. Psalm 119. Let's start in verse 155. This is where we looked at this morning. We'll look at a couple of these right around here. And y'all remind me to look. We're going to look at, I think it's Isaiah 58. Don't let me leave here this morning without giving you something in Isaiah 58. Okay, while I'm thinking about it. Remember, he who waters shall be what?
Water.
God's not going to allow the righteous soul, the upright soul, to famish. What is God going to do? He's going to feed you, Miss Pat. He's going to what? Feed you, and he's going to pour water upon you. And being fed and watered by the Lord consistently and regularly is the best place in the world to live in.
Amen.
That's because you're staying under his wings. You're operating in his strength. Now watch what 155 says of 119. Salvation. Now salvation meaning the entirety of the whole scope of salvation. That's just talking about grace, talking about Jesus, talking about the glory of God, talking about the word of God. All those dynamics of salvation, of the deliverance of God, that work, including the Lord, because you can't have salvation without him. Amen.
Amen.
He's the what? The way, the truth, and the life. Man's not to live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So salvation is far. The evidence of salvation is far from the wicked or the wrong. Why? For they do not seek your statutes. And the idea of that is basically saying they don't seek God's message. They don't seek God's ways. Because Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It just uses words like statutes, ways, wisdom, judgments, commandments, precepts, principles. All those words are all about the Word of God, God's message for us.
Amen.
So the Lord himself, in all that comes with him, is far away from those that are not rightly connected to him, because they don't make it a way of their living to seek him and how to live. Number one, that's how you can manifest, see the wisdom of God or foolishness in people by what's coming out of them. And if God's not coming out of them, that means God's not in them. If God's not never coming out of them, God's never been in them, in the sense that God's not present, walking with them and leading them in their life. Very, very crucial for us. Look down in verse number 165. And this is where I'm drawing this out of on these frustrations. This is a commitment of God. This is what David is saying as he wrote this. What does he say that we have when this salvation is operating presently in our journey? Great peace. That would be the opposite of frustrations.
Amen.
Great peace have those who what?
Love
your law. Love your way. Just say that. A governing way. That's the idea. The way. Your message. Your way of living. And nothing causes them to what? Nothing causes them to stumble. All right, so if you're stumbling in frustrations, there's something going on. There's a lack of peace there. And there's a lack of peace there because God has removed that peace, because God only grants his peace when we're walking uprightly with him.
Amen.
What does Isaiah 26:3 say? Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. 32:17 says that the work of righteousness is steadfastness and peace. It's a steadfast confidence that righteousness produces in us, not us. God does this in us when we are resting our life upon what he is speaking into us. Now, look over in 133. I'm going to read verse 132 since we're so close to it. The psalmist says, look upon me and be merciful to me. As I said, when you have a way of living, you also got to have mercy to go along with it, because you're not always going to stay in the way. And all God's people said,
amen,
you're going to get out of the way at times. You're not going to always do what you should have done or could have done. You're going to get out of the way. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who what? Love your name. Boo, we want to be falling more and more in love with the Lord.
Amen.
To love his name is to love him, to love his nature, who he is, what he does, why he does it. It's talking about this scope of redeeming salvation in him. Verse 133, David said, direct my steps by your word, and let no wickedness, iniquity, have dominion over me.
Amen.
Now you see how that can happen. Some kind of wickedness, some kind of iniquity can have control over you, can have dominion. Dominion is conquering you. David is saying, Lord, don't let anything, any way, conquer me. I only want you to conquer me.
Amen.
I want to be conquered by you. Why do you think David's saying that? Because David had iniquity have dominion over him at times in the past.
Amen.
Just like everybody in here. Amen. Things controlled him. Look what he says in verse 134. Redeem or deliver me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. What is frustration? Frustration is oppressive. It oppresses you. It holds you down in that oppression. And if you're letting people, if you're letting circumstances, you're letting things oppress you, hold you down, that's gonna, and if that, the frequency of that is closer and closer, that's telling me that I'm letting it manipulate me, control me, and I'm not letting God guide me.
Amen.
Because he said, if man oppresses me, I'm not going to walk in your precepts. Are you with me?
Come on.
I'm going to avoid your precepts. Why? Because I'm not looking to them. I'm looking to the oppression. And that oppression is now frustrating me. And that frustration is manifesting. I'm not guarded in your peace because I'm looking at everything but you.
Amen.
And I'm frustrated and I'm agitated and I'm angry. And my flesh is manipulating these circumstances. So it's not as much as them as it is me looking back unto him. Amen.
Amen.
That's why he says, hey, don't let anything have dominion over me. Don't let them conquer me. Now, I mentioned a passage before we go. Isaiah, right? Did I say Isaiah? Isaiah what? Isaiah 58. We are going through some tough times. And all God's people said,
amen.
We're going through some oppressive times, Dave. I mean, how many of y'all will be honest and say, man, it's tough. How many of y'all, it's tough just the flow of society? Think about your finances. Think about how many of y'all's groceries have gone up? Hey, man, it's expensive right now, isn't it? It's tough. It's hard. We're living in these difficult, tough times. But God makes some promises to us in the midst of those things, that he'll do stuff that the times can't call for.
Amen.
And he says, look at, but you got to read the whole scope of 58 to get the idea of how we get to this place. That's simply looking back unto him and not letting man oppress us, not doing things for men, not doing things for ourselves. But verse 10 says this, if you extend your soul to the hungry. And we live around a lot of hungry people. And that hungry is not just physical hungry. There are people that are hungry emotionally. There's people that are hungry spiritually. There's people that are hungry mentally. That is simply saying, if you'll pay attention to where people are in life going through these things and these slippery days, if you'll give your focus to be a blessing to people, is the idea. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. And I want to tell you, light does a wonder for frustrations.
Yeah.
Light does a wonder for depression. Are you with me?
Come on.
Light, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in what?
Drought.
In drought. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And praise ye the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What does God say to do? He'll make you a stream of gladness and joy in the midst of these frustrating, difficult days.
Amen.
Why? Because you're looking to him, you're walking in his way, you're just doing what he told you to do, paying attention to your neighbor, paying attention to your brother and sister, paying attention to those that you're working with, living among, around, giving attention to them. Think about Joseph for a moment. Everywhere Joseph went, he paid attention to everybody who was around him, and he was able to bless people because Joseph never focused in on himself. He was an instrument that God used to channel his water through. And he was a stream of joy and gladness, of living water, wherever God put him. Whether it was in a pit, whether it was among slave traders, whether it was among Potiphar, whether it was in the jailhouse, or whether he was with the Pharaoh, he was a stream of living water.
Amen.
And he recognized the despair and the frustrations in everybody else's life, because he was in the right place at the right time with the right spirit for the right work to do what God had given him to do. And now, does that mean he never got frustrated? Not saying that. He was a man just like we are human in here. But it's obvious when he got frustrated, what did he do? He looked back unto the Lord.
Amen.
And God kept what? Raising him up and using him through it. Amen.
Amen.
So I encourage you, myself, to get our eyes on Jesus. Man, And I tell you, when you read about Joseph today, you know what Joseph? He smells good, don't he?
Amen.
Man, he smells good. And you know what? No matter what God put him through, he did say this. He said, look, everything that happened to me, the enemy intended it to harm me and hurt me, but God used what the enemy intended for bad and evil, God used it for, he used it for good. He said, so those bad things turned out with a good aroma. They smelt good because of what God was doing in me. Because Joseph had a way of living. And that way of living governed his life. And that guarded him and guarded peace in his life to be a difference maker. So when he was in a drought, because Joseph teaches us those things about the drought. In Genesis 41, he told Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, the drought's going to be so bad. The famine's going to be so terrible that all the good that the people have, it won't come up to, it'll be totally forgotten. It'll be totally forgotten because the drought's going to be that severe. They won't remember how good they had it when they're in the midst of it.
Amen.
And he gave him a plan how to work those things out in the midst of it. And God used it in a mighty way. So that's where we get those principles of, hey, if I got to constantly be reminded of God's goodness and grace, that's reminding me that, hey, Nick, you probably are walking through a drought right now and you're not being well watered by God. And not only does he want to water you, but he wants you to be a spring of living water that he can water others through you. So get your eyes back on him, amen, and he'll use it in a mighty way. Father, we thank you today. We bless you. Ask you to use these things and speak them into our life. We thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for the testimony of your truth, and thank you for your grace and your mercy. We can't know you nor walk with you except through Jesus. So if somebody in this place today has never trusted you with their life, I believe the day is the day that you can and are able, you can free them from themselves to look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Have your own way. Boy, that's some big words, Brother Shannon. That's some big, big words, no doubt. All right, anybody have anything before we go? And we just give God the glory. We give him the glory. Amen? Amen. Glad to see Tammy back doing better. She says she don't have the headache she was having, but we're praying for her and asking God to bring her through. Amen? Amen and amen. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this day, this time, this treat it is to be able to be among your people doing your work for your glory. It's great, Lord. It's a great work you've given us, and we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all.